In other words, one of the comparisons we've been doing together is this idea that just like when you have an iPhone or some kind of mobile device, you are able to download apps into it. And you might have 100 apps on your phone like I do, but I only really use a few of them. Now, the key is this, that you have the apps, but it's really the abilities of those apps are dependent on whether or not you put them to action. Our spiritual journeys are very much like that. God has given us, once we decide to follow Him, the Spirit of God comes to live in us, and He deposits in us everything we need for godly living. And it comes as we get to know Jesus. Now, that word knowledge is not knowledge just in the mind, it's experiential knowledge. And a little formula that Pastor Andy last week talked to us about is very, very important to understand when it comes to this word knowledge. It's as simple as this, that information plus application equals transformation. Can you say that with me real quick? Information plus application equals transformation. You see, it's not just what we put in our mind, but it's how we apply it. That's what we talk about, the next steps, that really transforms us. And so we might have all these apps or all these deposits in us for godly living, but it's learning how to put them to action that really transforms our lives. Today's topic is about courage, and I'm really excited because we are going to really explore this in a unique way. So we brought four different men on the stage, and I'm going to actually ask them some key questions about their lives, their stories, and we chose them specifically because of what they bring to the table. Literally, they are men who have walked with courage through specific and unique seasons of life and aspects of their lives. So I've asked them to really be personal, to be transparent, to share their absolute worst sin with everybody in the room. Just kidding, you don't have to do it exactly like that, but just a little bit. But to really be honest and vulnerable here in front of us, what I'd like you to do as we talk about this is really to start asking this question, what's a glimpse here? What's God trying to say to me through their stories? And as you hear that, to maybe jot it down, to make a little bullet point on your connection card, it's not just for fathers, it's for students, it's for young professionals, it's for moms, it's for every type of person. And I hope that this inspires you to live lives of greater courage. All right, as we get started, do you guys have your mics on you? Is it on already? Cool. Aru, I think we're missing one mic. I don't know if we have both of them here. So as we do that, let me start with David. Can you introduce yourself and then tell us just about your family real briefly, how many kids you have, maybe what you do for a living, and then we'll go around and get started that way.
Sure. So my name is Dave Dorflinger, and my lovely wife Vivian here, and I have been married for 10 years. We have three kids. Carl is the oldest one. He's 6 years old. Connor is my second boy. He's 5 years old. And then we've got a lovely little girl, Danica, who's 2 years old. And I work at Applied Materials as an operations manager. And I've been coming to South Bay pretty much since they started. So people feel like family to me.
My name is Pablo. I'm married to Juanita, who's serving around somewhere, and I'm the father to Mateo. He's a four-year-old who runs around like crazy and jumps all the time. You may have seen him as well. I work at a tech company in product management, and I've been here since my family and I moved to the Bay Area in late 2012, and we've been coming to South Bay Church since.
Hi, I'm Mark Cochran, and South Bay for over 3 years now, and I'm married to Annalisa. We've got two kids. Kelly is 24 and Kyle is 26. And I am I'm a recovering attorney, and I've been spending most of my time really with men's ministry and helping men come alive again and you know, step into a greater role like God designed them to be.
Hi, my name is Hena. I'm married to Julianne. She's in the HUG ministry here at the church. And in 10 days, we'll be celebrating our 37th anniversary.
Awesome.
So God gave us three amazing kids. Philippe is one. I have an older son, Dan, that lives in South Carolina, and Christine. And the best is after the three kids, he gave us 9 grandkids. So we have a very blessed family. And I've been involved with South Bay since the beginning. the planning days prior to launch, and now I'm responsible for the expansion strategy.
All right, so awesome group of men. David, I want to start with you, okay? And then we're going to just kind of be fluid here. So if you guys want to speak into one of the questions, feel free to a little bit as well. We're going to try to move it somewhat quick as well. David, there are a lot of instances, as you read the scriptures, that Jesus will come to his followers in the, like in the middle of a lot of trial or they're scared, and he says this one phrase. He says, take courage, I am here. And you read it all throughout the Gospels. Like, he's constantly saying this to his followers. Take courage, I'm here. Take courage, I'm here. And I want to start with the subject of parenting since it's Father's Day and ask you this question. Have you had a time where you had to be courageous as a parent, where you maybe sensed God saying that to you, like, take courage, David, I'm here, because you were in a place where you needed to hear that?
Sure. So, I've been, I guess you could say, blessed in my life to not have a lot of tragedy or really bad things happen close to me. So I can't really say I've had a lot of faith-shaking moments in my life. But when my second son, Connor, was born, he was like 2 hours out of Vivian. All of a sudden, a bunch of doctors started coming in and saying, something doesn't look right. We want to get this checked out more. And within a few hours, he had been whisked away to the neonatal intensive care unit, and they were running blood tests, and he ended up being diagnosed with a very serious chronic blood disorder. And we never had even heard of it. It wasn't in either of our families, so we knew nothing about it. And so where my life had been relatively calm and uneventful up to that point, I guess, all of a sudden, I found myself in a situation where I was supposed to be the guy in control and, you know, the father and the husband and display strength, and I was torn apart inside. I felt totally powerless, and I didn't know if my son was going to live or die, and I just threw up my hands. I'm like, God, I don't know what's going on here, but I really need you to talk me through this, because I'm lost. So spent a lot of time in the hospital reading through Job, and it was really one of the times, you know, I say I've been fortunate to not have tragedy in my life, but that was one of the times when I really felt God closest to me and teach me some things that I don't know if he could have taught me about relying on him any other way. So that was kind of a step function in my learning to trust him and be courageous. Not because of how strong I was, but because I was anchored to an immovable object. And so that was one thing where I really had to be courageous. And it was not just God meeting with me, but I still remember Felipe. We had just been going to South Bay for a short while, but Felipe called me up and asked how I was doing. And I stepped out of the NICU and talked to him in the hallway. And just knowing that he was there, that I had the whole church at my back, was very powerful also, and he prayed with me and kind of got us through it.
Hmm. You know, one of the primary misunderstandings people have of people of faith often is that once you, like, come to Jesus, that your troubles are gone, you know? And we all know that's not true. There's a different style of trial that you encounter. It's still, God fills your heart and he fills you with courage. But the very command that Jesus gave us to be courageous implies that we're going to need to have courage in life. And I know we've all gone through a lot of trials. I want to ask you a question about this that's still in parenting, because I know when I was in my high school years, especially, and my brother as well, we gave you guys a lot of junk, and we were, you know, like, rebellious. And I know that there's people in the audience right now that they're scared in a lot of ways related to parenting. Some of them don't want to have kids because they've seen my kids, or no, they've seen some kids around, or they're scared about what's going to happen, or some already have kids and there's this fear, like, what are we going to do? What if when they grow up? And some kids in the audience, like some of their kids already have walked away, or they're in the middle of what I went through in high school. And honestly, as a parent, when I first learned that my wife was pregnant, that was my biggest fear. What if they become like I was toward my parents? And watching you and mom go through it was like one of the most miraculous experiences of my life. Even looking back now, it's a model for me. I want you to speak into that. Like, how did you face that? When, like, what kind of, where did you draw the courage? What was happening at that point? How did you go through that? And speak into, even for with them in mind, for those of them that are going through those trials, how to hold on and have courage that God's gonna, you know, take you through it.
Yeah, all right. You gave us some trouble.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But I still remember in Michigan when I was driving with my wife in the car and we got a phone call from the high school principal. Told me you were caught dealing with drugs, had drugs in our locker, all over. And at that moment, we stop and we say, why is this happening? Why is God allowing us to pass tough times? And we said, well, we prayed before taking the decision to move to Michigan, so we thought everything was under control. But now when we look back, we can see how God's sovereignty and how God's is in control of the situations. As parents, the maximum we can do is really pray, because our God has the power to change situations. When he got that news, we thought, oh, his life is done. He's going to be involved with police now and all this. And to make it short, when I look back, God used that experience, putting his heart, a passion for youth. He understood better how youth react to all the pressures they have. And later on, he decided to go to a seminar and to study for a youth pastor. So at that moment, we never would think about that. We would always think about, oh, God forgot us, God is not in control. But through our kids had issues, and they were involved in accidents, total some cars. My daughter was involved in a very heavy accident. So God has been teaching us that as parents, first we need to rely on our theology. We spend years reading Bible and learning about God's attributes, that he is power, he is in control, he loves us, he's a perfect father. So I can make lots of mistakes, as I did, raising my kids, but God is in control. If their life would depend on my doing right, would not be fair. So God uses us, even with all our issues, and that's what he did to our kids. So when we look back, each of the kids that we were singing here, God is our cornerstone, and through the storms, and it was passing through my mind all the difficult times we had, but at the same time, how gracious God were in terms of taking you out of trouble or transforming bad experience into something good that only God can do. Mm-hmm. So in John 12:33, that is very clear that we are going to be through tribulations and trials. Look at the life of the disciples. They passed through everything, but they were still trusting that God was. So that's what we have to do as parents, not to be shy or I'm not going to have kids because I don't want to face that, but trusting that God is going to take care of you and your family, and he is always the best. And sometimes we don't understand, but he's up there. And I see when he was looking at Felipe through that time, say, I'm going to use that experience to transform his life. That's what we do.
Hmm. Thank you. Journey. I'm sorry, by the way, for high school days.
You already asked that several times.
Before I transition, one of the things that I think is really important is one of the aspects in my life as a son that was very transformative is, like, we our relationship was affected by what I went through, but watching the response of my parents toward me, even when I was not, like, I was kind of walking away from what they taught me, the response is what one of the things that most helped me change. And so there was love the whole time I was going through this. And I didn't even understand it. I almost felt like, there's almost like a little too much love. If you know my mom, she's very good at too much of love because she's very affectionate. But that transformed me, that response, seeing you guys with that. But Mark, I want to go to you. I'm still on the topic of family, but more marriage. And I know your story, and I know you can share a whole message here just on your story. It's very powerful. But I know you almost lost your marriage, and you went through a really tough time with that. And sometimes in the midst of a troubled marriage, the easiest thing to do in most people's minds is to quit. And I know there's a lot of people here that are in that boat. And I want you to speak into that. Like, you didn't quit. Tell us how, about the courage that it took to fight for your marriage, even when it looked like there was very little hope left.
Yeah, for the majority of my life, I struggled with an addiction of pornography. And as Felipe said, it almost destroyed my marriage. My wife and our kids walking out the front door. And that was devastating, and that was really rock bottom for me and my turning point. The unfortunate thing is that most men struggle with something very similar. It's a very dark kind of problem to be struggling with, and it's not just enough to will yourself through it. And a lot of the roots of this, certainly in my life, goes back to childhood when a little boy, a little child, didn't have a caretaker there to model authentic intimacy. And there wasn't a caretaker to meet a lot of the essential needs of a little boy. And so, not knowing any better, little boys, they just do what they can to survive. And as they grow up, because of this deficiency, not knowing how to engage in an authentic relationship, especially with a woman, men turn oftentimes to pornography as a form of false intimacy. And unfortunately, they don't find fulfillment there, but they're trapped in this place. And so the irony of it is that you, when you're stuck in this place, you move into deeper places of isolation. And that removes you even further from the relationship, the authentic relationship you want to have, you need, and you're trying to seek. But the way you're going about it is actually driving you in the opposite direction of that. So what does this have to do with courage? Shame, selfishness, fear of rejection, and pride will prevent a man from being honest in this area and speaking out and reaching out for help. And there is help out there, and there is hope out there. My life is a testament to that. God is a loving God, and He's a forgiving God, and He is a healing God, and He will heal. This is something that requires healing of both the man and those others in his relationship. Thanks to God that He moved powerfully in me, moved powerfully in my wife. And I had to really step up. I had to face, being embarrassed, telling people that I have this weakness in my life. Men are not good at sharing weaknesses in their life. We're supposed to have the answers. We're supposed to be strong, right? And so this very much runs counter to what we want to do. But courage really, in this case, is about a man stepping up and being honest and being transparent. This is the pathway to the relationship and the connectedness that he really wants, he's seeking for. And there's programs at South Bay Church, life groups now, that will help men through this healing process. There's even some programs for women who are struggling with in the same place. So I'm thankful that God's a healing God. I thank my wife for sticking with me and having faith. And anyway, that's an opportunity for courage in men's lives.
That's awesome. One of the things I love about your story, and there's several men that are similar to South Bay now, that you had the courage to be transparent with your family, and which is like the hardest step, like to admit, wife, this is what I, but then you took another step, and you have the courage to now use your story in front of a lot of people. And all of four of you guys have used your stories now to shape the lives of dozens and dozens of men. And that is so courageous to watch, because most men don't even share with one person. But to be able to open up your heart and say, guys, everybody makes mistakes, we can get through this. And I applaud you guys for that. It's fantastic.
On that note, there is this quote by Brené Brown, famous. She's a speaker on the topic of vulnerability and shame and all of this, and she says vulnerability is the greatest measure of courage. As men, when I was going through similar circumstances, and some of you know my story, I almost destroyed my marriage as well. That was what I felt the weakest, and therefore it created shame in my life and in my heart, and it prevented me from sharing. But understanding the vulnerability is actually what makes me courageous. The way to express my courage is to be vulnerable and sharing, I have an issue with this, and I don't have it all figured out, and I need help. And the more you do it, the stronger you become, and the closer you are to the path of healing and transformation and freedom. It is amazing. So.
Amen. All right, Pablo, on similar topic, but I want to flip it a little bit more to a career, because I know you also, you shared your story before where you've almost lost your family as well. And all throughout your life, you've had these tough choices you had to make. And in the beginning, it were not very good choices, but you've learned over the years to make wiser choices. And I remember a year and a half or so ago, you struggling with a career shift. And you had these two options on the table for you. One of them was going to be a job that you thought would pay more, but it would consume your life and very little value towards family that company provided, and it was going to affect your family. The other job was more of a family-oriented company, paid less, I believe, but you felt like that would allow you to have most kingdom impact and most health in your family life. How did you have the courage to make that choice? Like, what did you go through in that experience?
I think it goes back to, so as a man, and you said something that is very, very accurate. I had to learn through trial and by falling and making the wrong choices almost on every area of my life. And what I learned was that as a man, without having had a strong father figure, a strong mentoring hand over me, guiding me through my process and giving me my true identity, and I looked for that identity and my validation as a man in all the wrong places. And women was one of them. And if this girl pays attention to me, then I feel important, right? This cute girl is like looking at me, and therefore being drawn to the woman just for that feeling of, I got what it takes, maybe I'm a man, right? And then the same started to happen at work. And the results and doing well and the recognition and the praise, and that becomes an addiction as well, and because I'm finding my identity or searching for my identity and my validation in my work. And so in 2010, I was living in Miami, Florida with a few friends. We started this company, a tech startup there. And right, I'm living the dream. I'm doing the cool thing like they do in the Silicon Valley. And I remember as a result of that, my wife we had our son in 2010. And a year later, her heart was broken because in her heart, my priority was my work and not her or my son. And I could not have agreed with that because I was fighting to provide for my family. But the reality was that deep down below, what I was searching was for validation and feeling important in work. And I saw the result of that. My marriage was on the rocks. And so a year and a half ago, we're struggling financially. I mean, God has provided faithfully, and we have for everything we need. And then this opportunity comes up, and it's a high-profile tech company in the Silicon Valley, and great title, right? Good pay. This is it. Finally, we're here in the Silicon Valley, my dream job. It's happening, baby. We're moving in. This is it. But there was something in my heart, and it was the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I may find all of these things that I'd want, but at what cost? And so I'm in prayer, and I'm with my group, my men's group, and my band of brothers, and we're talking through this, and I'm sharing all of this with them, and they're helping me and praying and asking me hard questions to evaluate this well. And then this other opportunity appeared or presented itself, where it was a company that not most people don't know about. It's been in the Valley for over a decade. It's not high profile. It's not as sexy in the Valley. It wouldn't provide as well for us. But it was enough to pay the bills, right? And so my wife and I were praying, and the first company, the high profile one, was on the way to an IPO, an initial public offering. We can really, this could be it, right? And my heart didn't allow me. Because now I'm finding my identity and my validation in God. And the closer I get to God, the more I understand who I am as a son, how he rescued me and he sacrifices himself for me. And the more I learn his character, the more I learn my identity in him. And so this is not as appealing anymore. And so we made the choice, and we talked about it with my wife, and we said, all right, this company is going IPO in a month. Everyone is going to be driving their Ferraris and having their gorgeous houses, and we're going to continue just making ends meet, and we're okay with that. Yes, baby, let's do it. And so we chose this one, and the result has been, it's been just amazing. My heart is full. I go, what?
No regrets?
Oh, no. God is just beautiful. I'm present with my family, and I am present, right? Not only physically, but drained, because I'm thinking about the meeting the next day or what I did wrong the day before, because, again, I'm searching, and I need the validation. No. I have dinner with my wife. I see my son running. I wrestle with him. And my heart is full. And my wife has been coming to me, and my son. I have this little anecdote. Actually, about a year and a half ago, my son, he's four, and so he was learning at pre-K that everyone has special talents. And so I asked him, like, casually, so, hey, buddy, what's my talent? And he said, Daddy, your talent is watching movies with me. The way that he was expressing how I'm drained, completely taken out at the end of the day, and I don't have energy for him, and so at least I want to be with him, but this is all I can do, just flip the channels.
Wow.
Now, about a couple of months ago, he was talking about the same thing, and I asked him, hey, buddy, what's my talent? Daddy, your talent is to play and to wrestle with me all the time.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
That's it.
That's so awesome to hear. I want to go back to you, Dad, on career now, because this is a big topic, Silicon Valley. Like, what he just said is totally countercultural to where we live. And growing up, watching the decisions you had to make were very life-changing to me when it comes to this as well. I remember getting a call during my college years. You worked at Ford for 24 years, and we had all these Ford cars. The whole family had Ford cars, and a lot of benefits came with that. And then I get a call from my dad, and when I was in college, he says something like this, son, we're praying through maybe taking an early retirement out of Ford, and I feel God calling me to serve the church. But that means everybody has to return the cars, and we don't have, you know, the pay was like 25% of what Ford was paying, and there was this tension that you were wrestling with, and that we wrestled with as a family. But all of us were so excited, you know, and it's like, do it, Dad. But I know that was not an easy decision, and you've had a couple of those. Even moving to California here to help us launch the church, it was another, like, big step of faith. How is this going to work? I want you to share about that. Like, how is it that, like, in light of obedience and calling even, and the choices sometimes to say, I can go this route, like a lot of people are trying to figure out their route for careers, and build myself a kingdom, or sometimes God will ask you to take a step of faith that doesn't make sense. What was that like for you? Like, why did you make those choices?
Okay, I think the first thing I want to share about decision-making process, no matter how much homework you do, talking to people, asking for advice, and reading, there will always be some risk and some uncertainty involved. And God still wants you to make a decision. So if you keep waiting until one day 100% of all your things are very clear, you're never going to make a decision. And God used decision-making process to build our character, to help us grow. So that time, I was asking my family first, when the church invited me, hey, we want you to quit your position at Ford, join us. But, you know, it's a pastor's salary, so we know. My first reaction was, I need to talk to my family. And so you guys had no company cars, and I called. And I remember you said, Daddy, if I need to take a bus, I will. So don't worry about it. So God used those pieces of advice or family feedback to give you some hint, this is it, go for that. But one thing I really learned is, like, we are here with a purpose to, you know, honor God and love our neighbors. So one big thing for me making decisions, and I have learned that with experience, is like how my decision is going to impact my relationship with others. So how I can be more effective with my life in this decision. For example, it's very easy to think, okay, should I invest in building cars that will rust or building lives for eternity? Not just executive society firm. I'm just saying, at that time I was thinking, okay, all the professional experience I have developed for 24 years, where can I apply that the most in terms of people? And for sure, the church was the best opportunity because God could use me to, you know, help the church. And that was a major thing in my decision. Not that I was pretty sure all the things are aligned, but it's this kind of courage that God asked us to do an evaluation, ask for no opinions, but make a decision.
Yeah.
I think I have learned this, like the peace rests in the other side of obedience. So you have to obey what God is prompting you. And no, He will be with you. Mm-hmm. So if you make mistakes or not, what is important is, okay, there is a Father, Heavenly Father, that has all the power to fix even my decision mistakes, mm-hmm. you know? And so I made mistakes where I took this decision. I was for 7 years serving at the church, and I can say it was the best years of my life, really involved in that. And then I made a mistake of not taking care of my body, and I got sick, I got stressed. And then, again, was a mistake that I made, but God ended up using that. Like I said, okay, let's take a break, go to South Carolina, spend some time with you and your family. God, I didn't know God was using that to put me again involved with a church, South Bay Church. So that's the beauty of trusting God and knowing that He is in control of your life. And you don't have all the answers, but you know, even if you make mistakes, you have a God that, like any father, that's worried about kids, and He's going to do the best of the decision.
That's good. That's good. You know, Jesus, there are a couple of texts that I really like when it comes to the gospel or the message that we believe about Jesus. In Acts 4:13, it says there was a council, the city staff basically watched a couple of the followers of Jesus, and they said this: when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I love that, because it's like there's a direct correlation between being with Jesus and living a courageous life. And here's a city watching these followers of Jesus, and they're astonished. People are like, they don't have what it takes. They're ordinary men, but they had a boldness and a courage about them that everyone watching said they must have been with Jesus. And I'm wondering for you guys, just in like a quick glimpse, starting with you, David, what's one thing that God is challenging you in terms of courage right now in your life that you're kind of wrestling with, or maybe recent in your life that you can share with us? Just kind of go at like 90-second version if you can.
Sure. So I guess to hit on his two points. So first of all, the way that I find increasing courage in my life is just spending time with God. And I've always kind of struggled with the consistency of that, because you go through emotional cycles, and a lot of it for me was tied to, if I'm feeling really good about myself and really close to God, then I want to spend more time with Him. When I screw up, I feel the shame, and that whole cycle starts in my head, and I don't want to talk to God because I know what He's got to say to me, and I don't want to read the Word, and I don't want to feel bad about myself. So just dealing with that and spending time with God and letting Him teach me and letting His Spirit instruct me has been a source of increasing courage for me. And then the other thing that's been a huge, huge step, and I can't overstate this enough, is just getting into, Pablo mentioned a band of brothers. You can call it whatever you want it, but just getting together with a group of guys that are going through the same crap that you're going through, and on a regular basis, just being able to pour your heart out to them and being like, this is what I did good this week, this is what I screwed up this week, speak truth into it, you know, give me some perspective. And just doing that on a regular basis, and some weeks you may have nothing to talk about, and other weeks you may have a lot to talk about, but it's just the getting into a rhythm where you're meeting with God regularly, you're allowing godly men to speak into your life on a regular basis. It's going to be a huge, huge tool for you in gaining more courage and living a more godly life.
Awesome. Pablo, how about you?
In my case, I think it started when I began coming to South Bay Church. I was just serving at the resource center when we had one in North San Jose, and your wife, Mandy, came to me and asked me if I would be interested in leading a life group, and if there was maybe a book that I could share with other guys and do like a live group. And so I said, sure, whatever. And immediately they follow up, they signed me up, I was in. And God began to challenge me in that area. And I began to see that the same story that I had been a part of and what was a source of shame before, like going to the women, like, you know, pursuing my identity in anything else but God, was now, could now become the very channel for God to free other men and to transform other lives as he had been transforming mine. But I feel inadequate. I don't know that I have what it takes. I'm not a pastor. I've never, right? I'm just a regular guy. That's it. And so God continued to challenge me. And so I started this group. I remember meeting with Mark for lunch before that. And I remember his words. He said, if you're going to lead this live group, lead with openness, be transparent, and share the worst of the worst with the guys, and you'll see the results. And that was the first day. I'm meeting with these 10 guys, and I'm just sharing my life and my mistakes and how I almost destroyed my marriage and how, you know, this is just who I am. I'm not any perfect. And to my surprise, that actually opened the door for them to start sharing, and there was a lot in common in the room. And so we began to form this bond and this band of brothers that David was talking about. And then from there, God challenged me, so if this is common to all of us as 10 guys, what happens out there, the rest of the guys? And so Mark invited me to be part of the boot camp and help out there. And then, but who am I to do this, right? And it's not about who am I, it's who God is. It's about him, it's his stories, how he's coming to reach into the hearts of people, to transform, to free, and to take every single one of us to our rightful place as sons of God and give us our place, as our calling, our destiny, and helping us fulfill it in him. It doesn't have anything to do with me. And so the more I say yes, the more he challenges me. And so then more men's groups, and then base camp, the bigger group that we're doing. And he continues challenging me, and it's scary. Every single time is, I have no idea what I'm doing here. I'm trusting you, and I trust that you will also provide for our family through my work, and I trust that we can do it your way. So this is not sacrificing my family or my son or my wife. This is not being irresponsible at work. I have to be diligent. I have to be excellent for you and with you. But I trust that if I take this one step, you lead the way, and he's done it in an amazing way. And in the process, I'm coming alive. And I have never felt as alive as I am now, allowing him to use me in whatever way he wants me to.
Awesome. Mark, what about you?
Yeah, so what I've been learning in my life is to allow my mistakes be a platform for other people to learn and heal and be encouraged. And so, you know, you ask, what am I struggling with right now? Well, I'm far from there yet as a man and matching image of Jesus. And I just, you know, just the other day, yesterday, I said to my wife, you know, I'm really struggling with this impatience. This impatience is coming out in me in such ugly ways. And I don't like it. I don't want to be like that. And so that's my latest challenge. And I just, you know, I encourage all you men out there to be transparent. You don't have to have the answers. You don't have to look like you have it all together. Really, everyone knows that there's something back there that you're struggling with. So be upfront with it, and people will respect you and be drawn to you in your honesty. And this is all about inviting people to be more authentic and participating as a partner with God and bringing heaven down to earth.
I just want to share that we are called to be light, and that means God wants us to be among people and just, you know, testify what he does to us. And this year I've decided to invest more in like traveling to Brazil and talk, and I've been so surprised to see how many doors God has opened for us to do that. And I always feel like, well, am I capable to do something? But when you put your life in God's hand and say, I just want to be used by you, he does miracle things. And one thing that I have learned is, if you feel the desire to do something good to people, no, that's not the devil.
Yeah.
That's God putting that desire in you. So just go and do it. And I think sometimes we make life too complicated. And what God does want us is to use any small opportunity. Like I was in Brazil, I shared that video with Wesley here, that he was at the door here, and Steve just gave him a big hug and said, you are welcome. He asked if he could come. He was dirty and wet from the sprinklers, and And that experience shows how God can use us with a simple hug or a simple phone call. And so I'm trying to apply that to my day-to-day life. So, yeah, always pay attention to God's prompt to do good to people, because that's why we are here. Love Him, love the others.
Awesome. Well, that's a great summary. Let's give these guys a hand. Thank you guys so much.